Shall we turn to God in prayer before we read His Word together? Our God in heaven, thank You that we can gather for worship on this first Sunday of Advent. We thank You for the gifts and the freedom of worship. We thank You, Lord, for this congregation and pray that You will bless each and every one here, those online, each and every one, Lord, in their place of need. And we pray that You will meet us here, Lord, and that You will strengthen us as we learn more about Your goodness and Your mercy and Your power and Your kindness to us in Christ Jesus our Savior. Will You fill us with Your Holy Spirit so that Your Word is truth for us and brings comfort and challenges us to live more fully for You. Bless me in leading and all of us in listening and living out of it together. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles or look on the screen probably for the scripture reading from Isaiah 11. I'm reading from the Pew Bibles here, and this is what God says to us. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand in the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of God as the water covers the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Dear people of God, in 2018, Clint Eastwood, you know him? Come on. He's 88 years old when he did this movie. He's 91 now. He just did another movie. But in 2018, he did this movie entitled The Mule. And in it, he plays a man who spent his whole life on himself. His whole life neglecting his family. He's been a terrible husband and a bad father and even a not so very good grandfather. Life has mostly been about himself. He loved getting recognition for things that he was good at, and one of the things he was good at was gardening, and so he had lots of awards for doing some great gardening. He loved the recognition. He loved to spend time in the coffee shop or in the bars with his friends, but he could almost never find time to be with his own family, especially and even when they needed him. So if you consider, biblically speaking, the husband to be the head of the home, the head of the family, he was a bad leader, a terrible leader. More times than his family could count, he left them crying out for a better leader. And that's the story of our text this morning, but maybe it's your story as well. Maybe that describes your home life growing up or now. Maybe that's your cry at work. Maybe it's your cry on the team that you play on. Maybe it's how you feel about our world today. Maybe you cry for better political leaders. Maybe better leaders in other parts of our society. We can all probably think of someone we were once led by who we just didn't appreciate. Now, I remember my grade 4 music teacher. I don't even remember who he was. I don't remember his name. I just remember he got mad at me. Now, I don't know why, because I was an angel. But I remember I was bad. But I don't remember what I did wrong. But he overreacted. He came up to me and he punched me in the stomach. Now, you know that even 50 years ago, that wasn't allowed. That wasn't a good way to discipline kids even then. But by the end of the class, he realized what he'd done wrong, and so he nervously prayed for me, trying to cover up his mistake. Nothing ever happened of that, but in any event, he knew that he had done something wrong, and I remember the event, and I don't have a lot of appreciation for that man, even though I don't, like I said, remember who he was. Now, when it comes to politics, in our world today, lots of people are always complaining about our politicians. Politicians in our society, but I think almost the world over, can have a high approval rating one day. Maybe when they're first elected in our society, they get elected and they have like a 70% approval rating for the first few months of their mandate. And then almost without fail, something will go bad. Something that they weren't expecting, something that they couldn't control or didn't control well. And everything turns on them. Suddenly they are, you know, maybe a 20% approval rating and they don't have a chance of being reelected. People say things like, he said he was going to change how he does politics. He said everything was going to be better. He said we could trust him. She said that she would do things differently. But now look at it all. It's all the same. They're all the same, year after year, generation after generation. They're all a bunch of crooks. People feel that way almost the world over. Some have different political systems that doesn't allow them to speak up as much and freely as we are. We're able to. But nonetheless, when you get them alone in the quietness of a small corner, whatever, they understand or they feel the same way, that politicians seek power, and when they get it, they use it just to advance themselves. They leave us crying out for better leaders. Now, from time to time, too often really, we hear about Christian leaders also who abuse power, and that's not good either. The pastor is the only one driving the Rolls Royce, but he says everybody else can have one too if they just have as much faith as he does. We've heard of many failings of clergy in the past, falling into sexually immoral behavior because they have power that they take advantage of, and they feel like they can do whatever they want given their position. Clergy are like everyone else. We cannot necessarily handle too much power because our sinful nature makes us think that we are more important than we really are. Makes us think of ourselves first of all. Remember how King David took Bathsheba from her husband Uriah and even had him killed in order to cover his own mistakes up. By all accounts, David was a good king. But he did have plenty of moral failures, some glaring failures even. However, over the course of several generations, David's line of kings grew worse and worse and worse, and some were plain and simply wicked. They made their great-grandfather David look almost faultless. So you see, leadership has its challenges. We're all prone to self-advancement. And when we get power, we sometimes just can't keep from doing what seems right in our own eyes. That was the cry in the book of Judges. Leaders doing what's right in their own eyes. Everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. And I'm sure that each king of Israel and other nations, no matter how wicked, thought he was doing a good job. He was advancing his kingdom, maybe conquering other lands, building alliances with other nations. But you see, they always did it for self-advancement. Most of those alliances were built on compromise. It was a king sending his daughter off to be married with another kingdom's daughter or son in order to protect their political power, to create political alliances, to create peace, yes, but also always at the cost of faith compromise. This Israelite king's son married a Canaanite king's daughter, and they brought new religion into the kingdom of Israel, And in that way, it led to idolatry in the whole nation. Never were these political moves about righteousness and about justice for the poor and the alien in the land, which is what Jesus is all about, which is what Isaiah's prophecy is all about. The interesting thing about Isaiah's prophecy in this book is that God is displeased with Babylon's and Assyria's leaders, but he is perhaps even more displeased with his own people's leadership in Israel and Judah, because their leaders should have known better. Their leaders had the law of God to guide them into the paths of righteousness and truth that God desired for his leaders and his people. And so God continues to rebuke his own people, the leaders in particular, for their self-service rather than looking for the good of the weak and the poor. They seek personal power rather than seeking a kingdom of justice and righteousness for all. Just read Isaiah 58 sometimes and you'll get a picture of God saying, "You people, you say you're so religious. You talk about fasting one day a week, and that may well be true, but you don't live a life that is in tune with a life of someone who's fasting in order to grow closer to me. You are simply fasting out of religious respect, maybe, but then you go on and live like the devil the rest of the week, the other 6 days. You do not live a life of righteousness and peace that I desire. That's the kind of people that I'm looking for. That's what true fasting is," says the Lord in that chapter. And so Isaiah comes here in this chapter to point us to Jesus. Israel and Judah are all but decimated. He paints this picture of the tree that is chopped down. Only the stump remains. People would say that tree is finished. That tree is done. This nation of God's people is erased. But no, says the Lord, I'm not done. I'm not done with this people because I'm not done with the world. I'm not ready to forsake the world that I created, even though people keep taking advantage of one another, trampling on the weak, disrespecting the poor. God is upset, understandably. Friends, the truth is that one nation, one person, one community might have more wealth and power than another. One person, one community, one nation might have more prestige than another. One person, one community, one nation might be more highly educated than another. One person, one community, one nation might have more money than another. But God's question is, do they love one another? Do they care for one another? That is the virtue that God esteems. Do they desire to know God above all, to honor him and live for him, which means living for his glory, living for him above all, but also loving their neighbors as themselves? As much as God holds that standard for just and righteous leadership, all the nations come up lacking. But friends, in Advent we remember the coming of Jesus. We remember John 3:16. God so loved the world. God so loved this broken, unjust, and unrighteous world. The world that includes Israel. The world that includes Judah. The world of Assyria and Babylon even. The world of Rome and Greece later on. And our world today. God so loves the world. You, me, and everyone else, our neighbors included, he so loves the world that he sent his son to be that Jesse stump, a new sprout that comes out of that Jesse stump. Jesus is the answer to all the cries of God's people and of the world for centuries, millennia, for a better leader. We had a plant in our house a couple years ago. If that was it, it was all the red was off, all the green was off, and all that was left was some sticks. It was a dead plant by all accounts. And we were about ready to throw it out, and then we saw a little sprout coming out of the dirt. I thought, well, we'll give it a little more time. We didn't kill it entirely. And that is a bit of a picture of what Isaiah is painting for us here. Everything seemed to be done. The stump had laid dead for years and years, this Jesse stump, this line of David. Nothing good had come out of it for a long, long time. That is the condition of Israel. Dead. Apparently dead. And then an angel appears from God to Mary and later to Joseph and says to those humble servants of God, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Friends, God provides a shoot from this line of Jesse, his son David's line, because every other shoot from that line has been in some way a failure. A failure. Each one of us needs to be saved from our sin, and it can't happen unless we understand and come to faith in Jesus. Emmanuel is the fresh, sinless shoot that comes out of the stump from the line of David. We give thanks to God for this gift of salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. We look to Him. We promise God that we will follow Him all the days of our life. We know the pain of the struggle. We know the hardship of being under poor rulers. But we also, hopefully, have had some opportunity to witness God's grace through other leaders. I told you about my music teacher in grade 4, but I also remember our principal in our school back then. He was a great guy. He was firm, and I got sent to the office a few times because I was good like I was in music class. And he did give me the strap, but not until he had thoroughly investigated. And I felt that he was trying to make me a better person. I felt loved. I felt concerned for him. Or he felt concerned for me. And I felt that. And it was a really wonderful relationship. And I respect the guy to this day still. He was a good leader by the grace of God. He led well. And he helped people to feel that he was a leader who promoted righteousness and justice, love for our neighbors. And so we thank God that He has given us examples, and ultimately He has given us Jesus. Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who will never steer our hearts wrong, who will never lead us poorly, but has already shown us how to lead well by self-service, by sacrificial service. And He has done that in order to love others more than Himself. And so we praise God that we are able to celebrate Jesus, that we're able to remember that He came to give us life, to give us true life, and not to live a life of abusiveness or anything else, but a life of sacrificial, loving service. And may God help us every day to live in such a way that glorifies Him and honors Jesus, our Savior. And all God's people say, Amen.